Let us feast this Easter day. These words are the spiritual and religious equivalent of Mother's traditional call, dinner is ready, and of the raucous call of the mess sergeant, come and get it. Eating together, breaking bread together, is one of mankind's most ancient ceremonies to demonstrate friendship, brotherhood, and trust. In almost every primitive civilization, he who dared harm a dinner guest was considered the lowest of persons. Today also, many of life's great events are solemnized and highlighted by breaking bread together. Table fellowship and the sharing of bread is a central part of the Easter message and the Easter celebration in the Christian church. Christ's resurrection and Easter victory have made possible the spreading of God's table throughout the world for all mankind. The Easter worship service in many churches emphasizes the feast motif, the breaking of bread ceremony. In the Lutheran Church, for example, the parts of the service all speak of some idea or aspect of this central theme. In the opening sentence, which is usually sung by the choir or spoken by the pastor, we find an invited guest's reaction to the invitation he has received from God, his heavenly host. The guest is overcome by the love of kindness which moved God to spread the table and to invite such a person as he knew himself to be. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me, he sings, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. This guest is an honest man. He has looked into the mirror of his soul and seen the naked truth about himself. He knows that God has also seen into his secret heart, and so he confesses, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Most of us think of ourselves as did this guest, at least in moments of private honesty. Like him, we are moved to say, this invitation cannot be meant for me. My heart is not prepared to break bread with God, who is pure love and pure trust. There is in me too much bitterness and hatred. I am a lonely man. There are many with whom I do not wish to break bread. Suspicion and jealousy are my constant companions. Others will reject the invitation with a snort. This feast is ridiculous, they will say. Give me a filet mignon and a glass of wine. So shall I feast today, for tomorrow I die. Still others will say, why should I eat? Why should I try to keep body and soul together? What does life offer that makes it worth my while even to get up in the morning? Is there a remedy for my arthritis in your feast? Is there a cure for my missing arm, my missing eye? I have no desire to feast today. Or any day. This Easter feast offers no cure for arthritis, no remedy for a mutilated body. It does, however, promise food for the soul that is weary and tired, too tired to live any longer with a missing arm, too weary to endure any longer the wearing down of spirit which comes with arthritis. To such people, to everyone, comes the invitation, let us feast this Easter day.
When I awake, I am still with thee. Alleluia. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me. Alleluia. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Alleluia, alleluia. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. When I awake, I am still with thee. Alleluia. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me. Alleluia. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Let us pray the collect for the feast of the resurrection of our Lord. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who celebrate thy paschal feast, kindled with heavenly desires, may ever thirst for the fountain of life, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Let us feast this Easter day. God has issued the invitation to all men to become disciples of his Son and to join at his table in a feast of brotherhood, hope, and dedication. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the Paschal Lamb who was slain and has risen again and has become the heavenly food offered to us all. This picture of the Paschal Lamb is found both in the epistle lesson used in many churches on this day and in the verse called the Gradual, which is sung by the choir or spoken by the pastor between the reading of the epistle and the gospel. The Paschal Lamb is one of the most ancient symbols of sacrifice. The sharing of its sacrificial flesh is one of the most ancient ceremonies to symbolize the oneness of heart and mind among those people who have found hope because of what the Paschal or Passover lamb symbolized. We know that the Paschal lamb was slain in Egypt at least 3,500 years ago for such table ceremonies. Its blood was a sign and symbol of safety, of promised deliverance to those who were threatened with oppression and death. It was a perfect symbol of God's power working through things which in themselves were powerless to save his people. The Christian church transferred the image and symbolism of the Paschal Lamb to Jesus Christ almost immediately. St. Paul used it in the epistle lesson for Easter Sunday, and quite evidently the church knew the image and loved it. Jesus Christ is the perfect and final Paschal Lamb, the sin offering placed upon the altar once and for all. Through that single offering, he has secured God's friendship and salvation for all men, in every place, at every time. The resurrection of God's Paschal Lamb marks a new day in the relationship between God and man. The day of his rising again is truly the day which the Lord has made, as the church sings in the Gradual, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Gradual continues with a table prayer, which most Christians know by heart and use every day. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And thus again we are reminded that on Easter Day, we are at a banquet spread by God himself. Because the Paschal Lamb at this breaking of bread is God's Son, the Savior of the world, there can be no limits as to who may come. He who closes the door in the face of a disciple of Jesus Christ for any reason is guilty of violating the ancient law of hospitality, doubly sacred because this feast is holy. He who judges himself to be unworthy and closes the door to himself also insults God's hospitality. If this feast had been intended only for good men, assuming that there are such men, then God's Son would not have had to offer himself as the Paschal Lamb. An ordinary lamb would have sufficed. But because God intended this feast for every spiritually hungry person, he offered his Son. There can be no doubt concerning the largeness and the sincerity of God's invitation. Let us feast this Easter day. But no stale bread, no moldy bread at this table, says St. Paul, Cast out the old leaven and the sour dough, he says in no uncertain terms. In the Hebrew Passover ceremony, which Paul had often witnessed in his own home, every piece of old leaven was thrown out on the day of preparation. Then the Passover was celebrated with unleavened bread, and a new batch of fresh, sweet leaven was introduced for the next 12 months' baking. Drawing on this picture, St. Paul urges all the guests to throw out every bit of the old leaven of malice and evil from their hearts. Malice and evil which showed itself in their relationships with one another, as the rest of his first letter to the Corinthians makes plain. They should keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As every piece of baked goods reminded the Hebrew family that they had thrown out the old leaven, so every thought, word, and deed of the Christian should make plain to the world that he too has thrown out the old leaven of malice and evil and has replaced it with sincerity and truth. You are fresh dough, says the apostle. You have all been washed in the blood of the risen Lamb. Now be what you are. And this is the challenge still presented to each guest at the Easter feast. Be fresh dough in a world filled with sourdough. You have been guests at the table with him who is perfect sincerity and truth. He has made you sincere and truthful. Let the world see this. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever.
The epistle for the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord is written in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven ferments the whole lump of dough? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be fresh dough, as you really are unleavened. For Christ our Paschal Lamb has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
After the reading of the epistle and the gradual, the Easter worship service continues with the gospel, which in most churches is followed by the sermon. The Easter gospel reports to us that Christ is not in the grave. He is not dead. He is arisen. The angel in the tomb invites us to come and see the place where he had been laid. The Easter gospel ends on a very strange note. For the last phrase in St. Mark's account tells us that the women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is not the way to end a story of triumph and victory, a story of the rising to life again of one's dearest friend. At least, you and I would never have ended the Easter gospel with those words. But we did not write this gospel. God's Spirit planned it. And he was careful to make the Easter gospel as appealing as possible. And this last comment about being frightened appeals to us. For, more often than not, the one thing which marks all of us is fear. We are frightened about many things, sometimes about God Himself, frequently about those we love, about our health, our job and job security, our children's future. And over every other fear hangs the shadow of atomic destruction. When a story then ends with the words, "They were afraid," we instinctively feel that that is our story, designed for us frightened people. Because we are frightened, it is important that we follow the right road to the celebration of the Easter feast. We need to follow the road that leads past the empty tomb. We need to see, to our great surprise, the stone rolled away. We need to see the young man sitting at the tomb, and to hear him tell us once again that the Lamb who lay in death's dark bonds has burst these bonds and has arisen. We need to hear that young man say, "He has risen. He is not here. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And so we travel this Easter day past the empty tomb toward Galilee, where the feast is being spread. As we travel, we go through Emmaus and recognize the risen Jesus as he breaks bread with two frightened and puzzled disciples. In Galilee, at the Lake of Tiberias, we join other frightened disciples as a stranger spreads a breakfast feast for us. And with these seven disciples, we suddenly know it is the Lord. Having broken bread with Jesus and with each other, these frightened disciples were able to overcome their fears enough to go everywhere, preaching the gospel of the risen Christ and inviting men to keep the feast with them. In spite of their daily fears, they found fresh courage outside of themselves in the body and blood of the Paschal Lamb and in breaking bread with him and with their brothers and sisters. Let us feast this Easter day. As we heed this invitation, let us look forward to breaking bread with the Paschal Lamb at his heavenly table, where we shall keep the feast forever with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He has arisen. He is not here. He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he told you.
The Gospel for the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.